Joe Escalante, live from Hollywood. If by Hollywood, you mean Burbank, across the street from a Wiener Schnitzel that serves beer. And we are here every Sunday from 5 to 7, KEIB, 1150 on your AM dial. And you get the podcast by just looking up Escalante or Joe Escalante, live from Hollywood, whatever, at Apple, iHeart, Radio, anywhere you get your podcasts. And Steve Schreiner's here to talk about trying to get people to sign this petition to get rid of Gascón and get a new DA in Los Angeles. Steve, what exactly is the problem?
Well, the primary problem is that George Gascón is not enforcing the law. He tends to identify with the defendants as opposed to the public and the victims of crime. So you'd mentioned Hollywood and what this has to do with Hollywood. You know, to some extent, Hollywood helped get Gascón elected when he came into office because it was Hollywood money and George Soros. But now Hollywood has turned on him and they're contributing to the effort to get him recalled.
Now, that's interesting because I always wonder, like, how do people fall for this kind of thing? When I heard about this, I don't live in LA County, so I didn't have to worry about it that much. But my sister's a prosecutor in LA County. And
yes.
And, you know, I hear about it from her, like, you know, coming home from work, she's just devastated. She used to be putting people behind bars. And now her boss seems to be asking her to figure out how to keep people from going to jail and everybody or spending less time in jail. And it doesn't take a genius to know that sooner or later this will raise crime rates. And then in this show's about Hollywood. If crime rates are going up, people don't want to shoot here. They don't want to film here. I filmed my last three TV series in Utah because I didn't want to film in Los Angeles. And sure, it's already expensive to film in Los Angeles. And if your employees are getting robbed on the way from the set to their cars or the way from the offices to the cars, you got a problem. That hurts Hollywood. So I think that's why I wanted to have you come on here. Now, one more thing. I imagined these ideas of Gascón's are ideas that the Hollywood would embrace at first and go, yeah, let's keep people out of jail. It's too many people are in jail, and that's we're creating a revolving door of criminals, and we got to figure out other ways. And then they call that reform. If you just let them on the street, I know what's going to happen. So I'm surprised they fell for this, but in a way, I'm not surprised. Now, are you saying that some Hollywood people are now flipping and they are against this Gascón guy and they are supporting this recall?
I am. I'm not identifying anyone, but part of the reason that the recall looks like it could be successful this time is because there's been a lot of contributions that we didn't have in the first go around, so that if it actually gets on a ballot, it's likely to be successful. And what the people involved in the effort are telling me is Hollywood has turned on George Gascón because people are starting to become victims in areas that didn't used to get touched by crime. And that's a direct consequence of Gascón's policies.
Well, I know quite a few people, I'm sure everybody does, that work in Hollywood. And at a certain point, they decided to move. And they're moving to Nashville. They're moving to Florida. They're moving to Idaho. They're moving to Arizona. They're moving to Austin, Texas. They're moving anywhere to get away from. And then I want to ask him, well, it's just too much crime here, like forest fires. I had an actual like A-list celebrity tell me crime and forest fires. I'm out of here. So they're all moving. And so some of them, the ones that are, they can't move and are going to stay here, seems like they would have an interest in getting rid of this guy. When does this happen? When is the vote? When do people go to the ballot?
Okay, it is not on the ballot yet. The reason why it's critical at this moment is July 6th is the deadline for getting the signatures in to get it on the ballot.
Oh, very confusing.
I spoke to the people involved today. They have enough, 566,000. They have that, but they're trying to make sure that they get enough extra so that when any of the signatures are contested, that they've got a padding. So part of what I wanted to impart to your listeners is they've got through the day after 4th of July to sign these petitions, and they've got to get them in because it's critical. If it gets on the ballot, Joe, it passes. It's not even going to be close. But getting close to 600,000 legit signatures, That's the big task.
That's a lot of, that's a giant number. I mean, if you look at 600,000, 500,000, yeah. That's like larger than the population of like most cities. Or if people don't even get that many votes when they run for, like, you know, Congress in certain, you know, districts and stuff like that. They're, you can exactly. win. You can win with like 40,000 votes and go to Washington, and exactly. and someone's making you guys do 500,000 signatures.
566,000. So, oh, and that gosh. Has to be the number that are actually checked and found yeah. in a quote. Like, if you sign slightly outside the box,
yeah.
your signature kicked out. If you put PVE instead of Palos Verdes Estates,
straight to jail.
Kicked out. So it's like that. You got to be very careful about it. So people like veteran prosecutors like your sister and myself have to step up to the plate, because a lot of the younger ones are afraid of risking their jobs and careers and all that.
It's too bad, because it doesn't seem like a political or partisan issue to me. It's just like, you see crime, you see why it's increasing, and you get a new DA. And DAs are supposed to be tough on crime. That's just the way it goes. If you take that away, you got problems. We have public defenders and criminal defense attorneys of all stripes to make sure people get fair trials. But someone's got to look out for the victims.
Gaston was involved with drafting Prop 47 back in 2016. Yeah. I'm not sure if he can actually write, but he is one of the authors on the record. But that changed the law in terms of petty theft and petty with a prior, not making them felonies. And you hear about people stealing stuff in all these stores and not getting arrested unless it's over 1,000. A lot of times now, these little stores don't even report it anymore because people don't get arrested. So some of the statistics don't really reflect how bad it's gotten.
But let's talk about gun control, because gun control is huge right now. But what to make gun control work, you have to bring the pro-gun people together, the anti-gun people together. The pro-gun people will never come to the table if they see that people like Gascon are not prosecuting existing gun laws, because then they feel like, well, you're not prosecuting the bad guys with guns. You're only going after the law-abiding citizens with guns. So I think what Gascon is doing is hurting the whole country's ability to arrive at sensible gun control regulations. Is that true? Does that make sense?
Well, you just hit on it. Number one, he doesn't let us use enhancements, which on serious crimes add a ton of time. It takes the really dangerous people off the street. He won't let us file any gun enhancement. Those are exactly the people you want to use them for. The other thing is ex-con with a gun or ex-felon with a gun, which even outside of Gascon is the lowest grade felony, 16 months, 2 or 3 years. But at the very least, you should be taking those guys who are the most dangerous people, putting them in prison. His policy is give them probation. Yeah. Now, I'm reluctant to ever say this specific person died because of this act. But those two El Monte police officers you heard about would be alive today if George Gascon had put them in the defendant or the shooter there in prison as an ex-felon with a gun. He'd be in prison now and they'd both be alive. So there are life and death consequences to this.
Yeah, so something's either true or it's not true. I get the idea. Maybe it was lofty. Maybe it was right. Maybe, but it didn't work. And as a community, a Hollywood community, we need this to be a safe community. You just got to get rid of this guy. So where do people go? What do they do?
They need to go to the Recall Gascon website. And it's just that, Recall Gascon. Now, there's all kinds of public forums where they are gathering petitions. But if they don't come across that, they can download and print out their own petition. Can't do it online. It needs to be actually printed. But we need to gather them up and have them turned in at the Registrar Recorders by July the 6th.
Okay, so that's coming up. That's like Tuesday or Wednesday.
They got the weekend to get it done, but we got it. If it gets on, Joe, the numbers I've read is 61% in favor, 21% against, and then the rest undecided in the last poll.
All right, well, I got to take a break now, but go to Recall Gascon Now, I think it's called. You Google it, you'll find it. Download a petition, sign it, send it back, get your friends to sign it, unless you like crime. Joe Escalante live from Hollywood. Let's check the traffic. Thanks, Steve. Joe Escalante live from Hollywood. We have Brady McDonald, the theme park reporter from the Orange County Register, on the line, live from Orange County. I assume you live in Orange County.
I can hear it. I can hear the fireworks at Disneyland at night.
I can hear them faintly.
So the big news in theme parks, we'll get to Disneyland in a second, but new roller coaster at Magic Mountain, the Wonder Woman single rail coaster. Now, does that really bring them in, these roller coasters? Is that what people want? I guess they do. My friend is sending his kid to a roller coaster summer camp back east. Okay, that's all they do is go to different roller coasters. Anyway, that's what they want. That's what the people want. Another new roller coaster?
Yeah, the way the theme park industry is set up, it's like the movie industry and it's like TV. You need something new all the time. It's like fast food. You know, you gotta have something new to draw people into the store, and it's the same thing with theme parks. They need
There's two exceptions to that. In-N-Out Burger doesn't need anything new. The Vandals don't need anything new.
But even the Vandals need to come up with, like, it's the 20th anniversary of something, right? You gotta have a shtick.
Gotta have a little bit of a shtick. But the worst thing the Vandals can do is have new music.
We do not want any new music.
Nobody wants new music, new Vandals music written by guys in their 50s. But in the theme park industry, you gotta have something new. You've got Splash Mountain. Yeah. You know me. I hate tradition, and I just love new things at Disneyland. So I'm very excited about Tiana's frog adventure. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm not that sad about it. Normally I would say, hey, you're ruining my favorite ride or whatever. But that ride was a mixed bag for me because I know how this shows. I invite you on to here to talk about what's new at Disneyland, and I just start talking about my old man rants or whatever.
No, that's the best part about talking to you is the old man rants.
Well, here's my rant on Splash Mountain is I get it. You have a ride that is based on a movie that is so toxic it's been banned for years.
They don't play it on Disney Plus.
They don't play it on Disney Plus. They don't play it anywhere. You could be arrested for even walking
around. They never released it on DVD. They never brought it out of the vault.
Never brought it out for DVD. It's the movie called Song of the South. Although there is a poster of it in the Disney on the Disney lot, and I found it, and I have a picture of myself with it. I'll in front of it. I'll dig it out. It's a great movie. I'm not sophisticated enough to know why it's offensive. So I'm just a simpleton. But when I watch it, in my simple brain just goes, wow, what a fantastic movie.
And of course, it had one of the most brainworm, earworm songs in the history of time with Zippity Doo-Dah. If I say Zippity Doo-Dah-Dee right now, you will not be able to get it out of your brain for the next minute and a half, right? Like, it's just going through there now. No, it won't come out.
Zippity Doo-Dah and It's a Small World are the twin pillars of songs, of earworm catchy songs. Zippity Doo-Dah, let me tell you something about that song. If you're a terrible singer and you want to go to karaoke, throw that one on there. Anyone can sing it. So everybody's a karaoke star with that song. But they can't even play that song on the Disney loudspeaker, correct?
No, they took it off of used to be what they called BGM, background music that played usually in downtown Disney. And the people that pay more attention to Disneyland than I do that know the song order that gets played at downtown Disney noticed that song had been snipped out of the song order. So they don't play it anymore. I used to play it on a carousel. They don't do that anymore.
I mean, I get it. If the movie's toxic, I guess you got to get rid of everything. So that's not my job to decide what is toxic. But I get it. You change the ride. But if something has been determined toxic, well, you got to change the ride. You can't just have that ride sitting around there celebrating some toxic thing that is toxic. So they changed it.
I would say the thing that is a little bit curious to me about the toxicity of this ride is that they've known it's been toxic for 20, 30 years.
Yes.
It was toxic in the 70s when they decided to make it the theme for this. They've known since 2019 or 2020 that it's toxic, and they're not going to replace it until 2024. Which one is it? Is it toxic, or is it, we can deal with it for another 5 years?
Or 30 years.
Yeah.
Well, it's toxic. I'll tell you, Brady, I'll tell you what's toxic is taking leftover stuffed audio animatronics from America Sings and throwing them into Space Mountain or whatever it's called, Splash Mountain, pretending you have a new theme for your ride. I'm more offended by that than all the offenses that Song of the South.
Yeah, I mean, the truth of the matter is we would not be having this conversation right now if they had literally just said America Sings Mountain and just called it that, right? I mean, that's all it really ever was just repurpose a bunch of animatronics and flow some water through it. It was the same exact thing.
Yeah, that would have been a bad idea. A worse idea. I don't know. It doesn't seem like the thing was thought through. The whole thing. And you know what? I went to a dinner once where a guy, one of the designers for the ride were there, but I wasn't smart enough to even ask him about that question. But
I'm sure like anything else at Disneyland, there was a conversation where they're like, look, we can save a ton of money if we reuse these animatronics and boom, we get a brand new ride out of this. This is a win-win, right? I'm sure that's how it was pitched.
And the margins were pretty small back then. They were squeezed. And so they go, look, we got a new ride. We need something new. We have it. We can't throw away this this goose or whatever it is with a banjo and a straw hat. It's gold. So, yeah, they did it, and maybe their stock price.
The other thing that's interesting about Splash Mountain is Splash Mountain is Disneyland's response to Knott's Berry Farm. Knott's Berry Farm had the water flume before Disneyland did. This was cutting edge technology back in the day, like in the 60s and 70s. This was what every theme park needed and had, except for Disneyland. And so when they did this, they were like trying to really one up the theme park down the freeway.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what gets lost in all this is like, this was a competitive moment for Disneyland at that time because they didn't want to fall behind in a race that they should be winning easily.
That's very interesting. And I remember the commercials for the log ride at Knott's Berry Farm. And as soon as I saw one, I just couldn't wait. I had to like just run to Knott's Berry Farm. I couldn't believe how fun that looked. And then it took us to Knott's Berry Farm. It dragged us away from Disneyland. And we were at Knott's Berry Farm all the time. So very interesting, Brady. You always have the great insights on these things. Now
you and I have talked about why I don't ride Splash Mountain. You and I have discussed this before, right?
I'm not sure. Why? I mean, I can think of a thousand reasons why not to ride
Splash Mountain. Well, I don't like water rides. My attitude is that if I want to get wet, I'm going to go to a water park. I don't want to be walking around all day soaking wet and everything sticking to me. Yeah. I don't want to get wet. And so I don't think I've been on Splash Mountain in probably 5 years. And I know that I'm going to have to ride that thing in the next year or so.
It's in your future.
I'm going to have to be able to say, this is what it was like before they changed it. Because they're going to close it at some point. We don't know when, but they're going to close at some point. And the line is just going to be out of control when they say we're closing it in 3 months.
Oh, yeah, that's what happens. So they're going to close it soon. They're going to open it July 16th.
July 16th is Magic Mountain.
Magic Mountain.
They're not going to open Splash Mountain until 2024. So, it doesn't go down until 2023. They're actually saying late 2024. So it might not go down until late 2023.
Wow. That's a year.
It's going to be almost 2025 by the time they redo this ride that they decided in 2019 was no longer appropriate.
Yes. And, you know, if they would have left Carousel of Progress where it was, we wouldn't have America Sings and we wouldn't have this problem. Or if they could have taken the family from America Sings and put them on Splash Mountain, then you'd have a ride that I would want to go on.
And yeah, I would still be getting wet no matter what.
It'd be Uncle whatever in the bathtub. It'd be the guy in the bathtub.
We could have ridden in a bathtub instead of a log.
Yeah, Uncle Wilbur's bathtub down by the river. You go down the river on, I don't know. Anyway, we're going to take a break. Joe Escalante live from Hollywood will be back. We'll talk about Disney adults on KEIB. Joe Escalante, live from Hollywood. By Hollywood, you mean Burbank. We are talking to Brady McDonald, the theme park reporter from the Orange County Register. Brady, there was an article in your Park Life blog, which everybody should subscribe to. And it was, I guess, in response to an article in the Rolling Stone about Disney adults. And I guess your guy is for some reason, defending Disney adults. Is that what's going on?
Well, Robert Niles is a Theme Park Insider reporter, editor, runs Theme Park Insider. He does a weekly column for us.
Okay.
And so he was writing about a Disney adulting and sort of the notion of, I guess you'd call them pampered and spoiled adults who are kind of entitled. And I think there's been many, many articles, but the general gist is that they're annoying and that, you know, nobody wants to put up with them. But I don't find that to be true. I think there's probably a few people that are like that. But one of the things that I constantly have to remind myself whenever I am at Disneyland is like, this is for kids. This isn't intended for like this 50-year-old guy like me. This is for that little one who's over there whose eyes are literally twinkling because she's never seen Fantasmic before. And she is blown away because she can't believe that they're doing something like this for her in front of, you know, her mom and her dad for the first time ever. She is, I watched Fantasmic 2 weeks ago. This little kid next to me, she must've been 3 years old. Her eyes were as big as saucers. Like when you could tell she was seeing it for the first time. And so that's who Disneyland's for. So, but the adults who love Disneyland, and this is what you and I were talking a little bit about before, is like, they, much like that sort of trapped in amber, like the way we want the Vandals to be, right? The way we want to remember the Vandals. That's what is happening with the Disney adults, is they remember the Disneyland of their childhood, and they're kind of reliving that over and over again. And so, you know, I think I do that too. I didn't grow up with Disneyland like some folks did. I didn't have it from like from birth. But my daughter did. My daughter was at Disneyland when she was 2 weeks old, and she's never known anything else other than Disneyland. So for the folks like that, Disneyland is part of their childhood and part of their life.
Well, I don't have a problem. I don't begrudge anybody being nostalgic about Disneyland, but I think, like you think, Disneyland is for kids. I think it's for kids. And I also think that the entertainment and the spectacle should be provided by Disneyland and the Disney cast members. And the problem with Disney adults is the ones that there's some narcissism in there, and they think the show's about them. So they dress up in some weird outfit, and it's all about them. And then they think that, or they have their Disney club with 60 of them gathering around, and they think it's them, and it's not them. The cast members take care of those things. And you don't need to, you don't need to be part of the show, because you ruin it for other people trying to enjoy the show. It's kind of like people who pray too loud in church. One time, my priest yelled at some guy and said, "Hey, nobody can be louder than me. Okay, just don't be louder than me," because it distracts people's peace. And so you don't want to distract people's peace, but trying to tell narcissistic adult Disney people that other people want to enjoy their peace, forget about it. So right, it's something you got to live with.
Right. But I would also say, much like your church, there's different types of churches and there's different types of Disneyland fans, right? So you can have a whole wide spectrum of Disneyland fans who are just casual fans and some who are like way totally into it. And maybe if you're way totally into it, you might need to go to a different church where that's cool. And and they have that at Disneyland too. Like if you're totally into Star Wars or, you know, Pixar or something like that, they have a Pixar night, they have a Star Wars night where you can sort of go all out and be your total geek self. Well, but you were saying that like maybe there's too much on every single day, on your average day.
I think there's only, I disagree with you here. There's only one Disneyland and there's only one church. And if you don't like snake handling, then stay out of my church. Okay. Let's go to this thing that was floating around everywhere. It said they're going to take you to every park in the world and it's going to cost $100,000, $110,000. And everyone laughed at it. But I understand it's sold out.
Well, they have a waiting list for it.
A waiting list.
There's way more than 75 people that want to drop six figures on a trip around the world. The thing that sort of was curious to me about this trip around the world is, if you are that serious of a Disneyland fan that you've got 110 grand to spend on this trip, and you're sort of that 1%, then you've probably been to a lot of these parks already on your own.
Yeah.
And the places that they were taking you beyond the parks were like, the Eiffel Tower. I think you've probably been to the Eiffel. You don't need me to take you to the Eiffel Tower. I mean, they're just basically refueling there and giving people a chance to catch up to whatever time zone they're in. But the things that they were taking to you beyond that didn't really seem that exotic. They are taking you to a few places up in San Francisco, Pixar and Lucasfilm's studios that, you know, you probably can't get into. Mm-hmm. But I think what you're largely paying for there is the notoriety of being able to say, I did it, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
I did this thing nobody else has done.
Yeah, it's the FOMO. It's also a disease, a disorder in our society that people need that so they can tell other people, yeah, actually, we did that, you know? And have you heard about Club 33? Oh, yeah, we you know, our friend's a member and we went there. And then, oh, well, what about 21 Royal? Oh, yeah, actually, we had a dinner there too. And, you know, it's like, and then now it's, oh, did you hear about this $110,000 Disneyland trip? Oh, yeah, actually, we did that. I mean, this is a disorder to be avoided. But what are you going to do? People have a right to make money.
You did mention basically the target audience there for this thing, right? It's the Club 33 folks. It's the 21 Royal folks. It's the folks that pay $15,000 for a dinner or who have like a Club 33 membership that costs them $25,000 to get in and say $10,000 a year. It's those folks that have that level of money, and there's not a ton of them. It's the Golden Oak. I mean, this is literally who they sold the tickets to. They made first available the Golden Oak folks that own the $10 million homes out in Disney World. It's sort of the Disney elite, if you will, who are going on this trip. At least that's who they let buy tickets.
I think people are financing it with real disorders. Because when I look around and when I go to the Disney California, the Grand California, where it costs like, you know, $700-$800 a night. I just don't think there's that many people in the world that have that much money without financing it and going into debt over it.
Yeah, you know, wrong. I think about it, you know, Disney World is a lot different than Disneyland, but going to Disneyland for a family of four, it's not unheard of to spend $10,000 on a week trip. I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot of VIP treatment to get up to $10,000 for a week. Well, and that's fairly common there that people do that. And then you can quickly make it like a $25,000 week at Disney World if you VIP it a little bit.
Yeah. I think people are financing this stuff. But that's what people do. Okay. Is any of this Bob Chapek stuff affect the Disney parks? He's re-signed his deal to be the CEO of all of Disney, and he comes from the parks.
Yeah. The thing that I never understand about people about complaining about Bob Chapek is he has one job in this entire world, right? Which is to increase profit share for shareholders. That is his only job, is make money for the owners of Disney.
Yeah.
And so if you're mad at him about anything, the shareholders are not mad at him because he's doing his job and he just got re-upped for 3 more years. I mean, there's plenty of things you can be upset with him about, and he did come from the park side of things, but he gets blamed for a lot of things that he has nothing to do with, that he has no control over as well.
I think it's because of the Bob Iger is a hard act to follow, so everyone's going to scrutinize everything that Bob Chapek does, when the truth is Bob Chapek is getting yelled at from all angles, from everywhere, from the right, from the left, from the employees, from the shareholders. I mean, someone's shareholders got to be mad that the stock is going down.
And to be clear, let's be clear. There's going to be somebody out there who's like, I'm a shareholder and I'm pissed. I'm like, yeah, of course you are. But he's making, and someone's also going to say, oh, the shares are down now, blah, blah, blah. But he got them through a 2-year pandemic and they look pretty rosy, you know.
I'm going to stop you right there. We're going to take a break, check the traffic. We're going to come back with more. Brady McDonald, theme park reporter for the Orange County Register. Escalante live from Hollywood. By Hollywood, you mean Burbank, across the street from a Wiener Schnitzel. that serves beer. And we are here every Sunday from 5 to 7, KEIB, 1150 on your AM dial. And you get the podcast by just looking up Escalante or Joe Escalante Live from Hollywood, whatever, at Apple, iHeart Radio, anywhere you get your podcasts. And been doing this for, I don't know, 16 years, just about. Okay, we're on the phone still. Brady, we're on the phone with Brady McDonald. We were talking about, he's a theme park reporter for the Orange County Register, and we are talking about Bob Chapek now and taking some heat, but he just re-signed his deal. He's the head of Walt Disney. And people thought, wow, stock is down. Florida, Scarlett Johansson, all this stuff is botched. But you're saying not really.
You can complain about a lot of different things, but he's generally been a steady hand at the helm.
Yeah, it looked like it was, everything was, I mean, it couldn't be worse. But even closing the parks down, I mean, you think about, like, they're worried about losing money one day over one thing, or like this square footage over here doesn't make enough money, so we're going to convert it from some statue to merchandise because it's just not making enough money, and they're just worried about money. It shuts down for 400 days or whatever, and they still survive. So, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, that guy alone. Every inch of everything that they did, movies, cruise ships.
Yeah. The cruise ships, yeah. The movies.
Goodness, everything they did was just out of commission.
Yeah, and it's hanging on. Let me ask you this. What the heck happened to that Tarzan tree, and what's going to replace it at Disneyland?
Well, the Tarzan tree was what they took out, essentially the Tarzan stump, if you will, which was this part that was added to sort of make it technically a little easier to get into the tree back, mm-hmm. probably 80s or 90s when they did it. But really what it did was create a bottleneck over there where they didn't need a bottleneck. And they've been trying to open up everything at Disneyland and make it flow a lot better.
Right. Because everybody's big ass strollers.
motorized wheelchairs and wagons, yeah. Everything else that they've got.
Little rascals.
Love so dearly.
What about, so what you're saying, when they had the Swiss Family Robinson treehouse, which was a real attraction, when they had that there, they didn't have that stump out in the front.
My understanding is no, that the stump was a Tarzan creation to sort of sweater entice people to come in, make it easier, make it fun.
Yeah. But no, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it wasn't originally there, and it's gone again now. What we do know about Tarzan's treehouse is that it will not be Tarzan's treehouse anymore. Still be a treehouse. They're working on a tree right now. It's going to be some other Disney character's treehouse. The popular speculation is that Encanto could, in theory, be the replacement, but they could frankly make it a number of things and probably make it work. But what we're pretty certain of is that it will be some sort of Disney intellectual property that is hot and happening right now. And
pretty sure
there's nothing more hot and nothing more happening than Encanto. So that's
true. You know, Encanto kind of was slow, and then it just built up and built up, and now it's just everywhere. You can't avoid it.
It's everywhere in the parks too. They've done a good job of sort of quickly introducing it in very easy ways to get it in the park. So that is one of the new missions once again from Bob Chapek, which is like, let's not wait 10 or 20 years to discover that Princess Tiana is a beloved character and she should have arrived.
Yeah. You know,
they quickly moved with Frozen. They're treating Encanto like Frozen. They're going to get it in the parks as fast as possible and not wait until, you know, you're 25 years old before you get to ride the ride that you loved when you were 5 years old. Get to ride the movie, so to speak, that you loved when you were 5 years old.
Are they going to replant that Tarzan stump in somewhere so it doesn't die? Or did they just throw it away?
You know, it's not real, right?
Yeah, but maybe some of the listeners don't.
So it's magic. It could show up in somebody's backyard somewhere.
John Stamos.
Yeah, there's plenty of Imagineers and fans who would love to do it. Speaking of John Stamos, he would be a leading candidate for that $110,000
Oh yeah.
Later on. I've been trying to figure out who got these tickets, and it's got to be someone like that. Mm-hmm. Who's got Disney connections, who thinks this just sounds like the coolest thing ever.
I'll report back to you, because I have some elite contacts. Yeah. I'll see if I find.
I'd like to speak with them about.
Yeah, I'll find out about that for sure. Now, the Pirates of the Caribbean is closed. Well, what's going on with that?
July 1st, it could technically be open. I've seen them cycling boats. We could see either a soft opening. Literally right now, I'm not sure. I haven't been paying that close attention, but it could be opening very, very soon. They've said early July is what they've said. And today is as early July as you could possibly get. It's all we're talking about.
All right. Before we go, Brady McDonald, the theme park reporter for the Orange County Register. Tell me, how much does it cost for somebody if they were just going to go to Disneyland tomorrow?
Oh, I don't know. Like, probably between $100 and $150, I'd say, something like that. I was trying. I'll say this one thing real quick. I don't want to. Oh, look at this! Pirates of the Caribbean 15-minute standby line. So it's open. Oh,
it's open. Okay.
So this is what I was thinking: was like, if you were to take an annual pass and charge me $150 for 365 days of access, I mean, that would be like a I haven't done the math yet, but that'd be like a $10,000 or $15,000 pass, probably. I mean, it would be a ton of money. But yeah, so to answer your question, how much would it cost to go to Disneyland today or tomorrow? Probably between $125 and $150.
Okay, and then they got rid of they sold out of some of the magic key things.
There are zero magic keys left now.
Zero. They just okay. So they put a lid on it so they wouldn't be crazy crowded, basically. And
so the question that I have, and I think a lot of people have, is will they ever sell magic keys again? And the second question is, if I give up my magic key, can I ever get it back again?
Right.
It's like a Club 33 membership. If you say, oh, I'm going to drop it, they're like,
oh, you're not coming back. Yeah. Unless you're beloved.
I think that's what they're trying to do with the annual pass, is turn into a sort of a mini Club 33, where you are sort of this fortunate member.
And interesting. I don't get it.
And I just did the math. If you paid a rack rate every day for 365 days, it'd be about $50,000. So, I mean, it's not, it wouldn't be out of the question to charge people, like, say, $10,000 a year for that annual pass.
They'll pay it. I think that's what we know. They'll pay it. So every time you think Disneyland's gouging you, they're not.
Not in the slightest. A Disneyland annual pass, if you were to maximize it out, you'd be paying like $3 or $4 a day to go to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Nobody does it, but you could get it down to that little. That is an extraordinary value. There's just no two ways around it.
Yes. All right, Brady McDonald, there you have it. We'll have you again sometime soon, and we'll talk more about Disneyland and maybe a little Knott's Berry Farm next time. And thanks for being here.
Yeah, it's always great to talk with you, Joe. I always have a great time.
All right, thanks. Yeah, Brady McDonald, theme park reporter, Orange County Register, Southern California News Group, friend of the show, and just a cool guy with a great attitude about Disneyland, Knott's Berry Farm, Magic Mountain, all that kind of stuff. All right, we will take a break, and we'll be back. We're always back. There's always more. Joe Escalante, live from Hollywood. I now leave you with just a taste of the greatest song ever written.